2018 financial results, Gruppo Unipol. Managing Director, Mr. Carlo Cimbri, after a very short introduction, will be available to answer your questions. Mr. Cimbri, the floor is yours, please.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Sorry for this minor delay. I am sure that the conference call will be short because I'm sure you have read the communiqué and the presentation this morning. I'm going to, well, give the floor to you, so to your questions on the figures on the first three months of the year. First quarter, 2018. Question number one is from the conference from Giuseppe Mapelli from Equita.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions, if possible. The first one has to do with the evolution of the non-life. I mean, I've seen a significant improvement of the combined ratio versus last year. Can you please give us some color on how the main variables are moving? I'm very much interested into the MV business. I mean, are we getting out of the soft market in the MV? Second question is a strategic one. I mean, I've read on newspapers some statements after the meeting concerning your shares in or holdings in Popolare Emilia-Romagna, together with the strategic future of that bank. We couldn't attend the general meeting. Can you once again give us some color on the strategy that you have for that bank or your holding into that bank? Thank you.
Now, sorry, first of all, I forgot to say that I'm here with Mr. Laterza, the General Director. He will give you clarification and further information if required. For example, as for the first question, the MV, motor vehicle liability, I'm giving the floor to him.
Okay, you want an update on the evolution of the liability on MV. Now, in terms of average premium, first quarter, a stability of the premium. Now it's been moving a little bit since month of June 2017. We can say now that we are right into a stable stability phase of the premium. From our own perspective, this is a very important insight. In terms of the profitability, the so-called technical evolution, this is what we can see, and this is what we've seen during the quarter. We have quite a good number of claims. I mean, the claims are going down, -3%. At the same time, there's a strong improvement of the MIPS, MIPS after the election. During the quarter, it went up by almost 1%. All of this, in general, is justifying most of the technical improvement that we can see during the first three months of the year in the non-life business as a whole.
Giuseppe, back to your second question. The question was on the Banca Popolare Emilia-Romagna, BPER. You made a reference to some of my answers to some questions in the press conference after the general meeting. I have also read some, well, newspapers, which is what you've done, I'm sure. Let me go through our position on BPER. Let me read my statement, which is what you can see in press agencies. The question was a very general one. The question was on how I saw the banking market, including our holding in BPER. Within that context, this is what I said. Our position as shareholders is aligned with the position of the regulator. Just like the regulator does, we see a reduction of NPL
as minority shareholders, we would like to share some ideas so as to stick to what the regulator wants. In terms of industrial plan, I can say that whatever industrial plan will have to have a strong, bold answer on NPL, on the NPL issue. So within this context, I have to say that the market has always liked those situations where banks deployed major efforts, for example, Banca Intesa and UniCredit, in order to do some cleanup. So they have cleaned their financial statements. So this was my statement, and this is still my thought as of today. I have also added that as shareholders, because we do believe in this holding, we will be supporting BPER into, doing this kind of, policy. And there was a specific question from someone because, we are, let's say, stable shareholders. So what happens in the case of an increase of capital? Well, because we are stable shareholders, if there's a good industrial product and the bank becomes profitable over the years, of course, we will be supporting the bank. If the management of the bank asked us, of course, we are not, we cannot be proactive. If their management has ideas, if they need support from shareholders, well, of course, we are here to give them support. This is my thought on BPER. Now, of course, you know that every single company has its own strategies. Operations may be, fast-paced, slow-paced, small or big steps. The role we have there is minority shareholders. So we need, to see the actions performed by the management before doing anything. Thank you so much. Let me just have a follow-up question. I forgot my last and third question. Can you give us some color on the amount and the nature of the depreciation that you've recorded into the real estate? Giuseppe, thank you so much for this question because this allows me to share some insights with those who are listening to us. Let me explain this one-off operation that we have carried out during the first quarter. So once again, this concerns RE, real estate. Now, it's an operation whose impact is 36 million euros gross. I think that on a net basis, it would be around 25 million euros. So this is an impact on the accounts on the first quarter. It's depreciation, so it's a write-down of the so-called Area Castello, which is our real estate in Florence. We did this in Q1 because we are in an advanced phase of negotiation. Hopefully, we will come to an agreement in order to transfer, so to sell this area. We've been dealing with this for many years. So once again, we are in quite an advanced phase of negotiations. And we thought we could take this value onto the right value. The value that we will see possibly in the agreement. Once again, we haven't defined details yet, but as I said before, we are in quite an advanced, discussion phase. So it is, let's say, a value adjustment whose aim is the fact that we will probably, get out, from that investment. Of course, we have to go through plenty of conditions that have to come through. Now, because it's a development, project, of course, some conditions will have to be complied with. Anyway, from the accounting point of view, we have identified the final value. Thank you. Next question is from Gianluca Ferrari from Mediobanca, please. Good afternoon. I have one question only. Are you on the market for possible partial transfer of the Unipol Red portfolio, or do you think you can manage the entire portfolio internally? No, for the time being, we are not on the market for this, transfer or sale.
sale of portfolio. I mean, we have just put together Unipol REC. I think I must have said this in the recent past. I mean, as far as our group is concerned, we don't have the issues that banks may have, including the bank we mentioned before. So we don't necessarily have to transfer this. So this is what the bank has done already, and this is why it is now free from every constraints on NPL. So it's a strategy that we are developing stepwise. So, recovering NPL, this is something we do under the holding company roof. Thank you. Next question is from Elena Perini, Banca IMI. Good afternoon. I have three questions. Question number one is the following. Can you tell us what your position is on the recent decision from the Constitutional Court as for the third level or third branch policies? Second question, can you give us some color on the impact that the sale of your holding in Arcavita will have on Unipol's Solvency II framework? If possible, some data on the capital gain for the holding company. So just a recap on, this transaction. Third and last question, I'd like to have an update on the gross cash levels concerning the holding company. Thank you. Matteo, the floor goes to you. Question number one. So the question was on our position concerning the decision from the Court of Cassation on the Sector 3 or third level, third branch policies. Now, before giving a position, I think we need to interpret and construe the contents of this decision. It is a decision, if I'm not mistaken, it concerns one policy with some underlying amount sold in 2003. It has to do with the behavior of the agent in terms of how the policy was sold. Now, this decision makes reference to the judge, and it asks the judge to decide whether or not a third-level product has to be considered as a financial amount or as an insurance product. Then, based on this, there was a long assessment on the impact that this may have on the whole system. Now, from our own perspective, there's basically no difference. I mean, there's no change in terms of the configuration of this so-called third level or third branch product. Now, this being said, we had the 38 billion provisions. The exposure on this, the third level, is only 1.5 billion euros. So it's very, very small in terms of the total provisions we have covering other products. So we will see what happens. This is a point that, has received so much attention from the mass media, but there's almost nothing substantial in terms of real impacts or changes versus a framework that we already knew very well. Then, Elena, back to your second question. So future transfer or sale of Arcavita, and you know that there's a procedure going on right now with IVASS. Now, the transfer or sale value, because it is an intra-group operation, it has no impact onto the consolidated financial accounts. So the financial statements won't be impacted by this operation. As for the other, financial statements, well, there will be an impact by, 100 million euros. So in this case, you will see the impact onto the financial statements of Unipol Group. In terms of solvency, I'm looking for some details, and here we go. So from the consolidated solvency point of view, Unipol SA, it will be between 10 and 11 cents. I think you had the final question on the gross cash of the holding company, right? Yes. Now, the holding company, in this case, I'm talking about the end of March 2018. Now, cash or liquidity is 700 million euros plus 600 million euros represented by investments in securities that can be sold quickly. So the total is around 1.3 billion euros. Many thanks. Next question is from Niccolò Dalla Palma, Exane BNP Paribas. Good afternoon, everyone. My question is on the release of provisions on the non-life business. Can I have some figures on the general total product liabilities and the impact on the MV? The second question concerns the life result. I see that the former Banco Popolare Vita flows have been quite important. So if we had to remove all of these flows from the pre-tax basis, there's not much underlying result. So I wonder whether something technical happened in Q1, because I know that there's a high level of volatility and this is a non-realized figure, from quarter to quarter. So I wonder whether there's another interpretation for these data. Third question, Core Tier 1, Unipol Banca standalone, if possible, or if available. Thank you. Thank you. As for provisions, now, in total, this year, we have given out €85 million, a little bit less than the first quarter 2017. In that case, we had around 100, to be more precise, €97 million 1 year ago. The impact on the LR, the loss ratio, is lower. So 5 points last year, 4.5 this year. Of 85, you have 25 on MV and a little bit more than 60 on the other sectors. So this is the question number one. So some details on provisions. Now, as for investments, let me give the floor to Matteo. There was a question on the income coming from the life business. Now, let me tell you that Q1 is always characterized by a larger number of, let's say, flows of income, because this is where we do the financial planning of the liquidity and even profitability of the GS for the rest of the year. So the only element that may be mentioned is the following: the accounting effect onto the so-called separated management, or GS, concerning the capital gain on the Atlantic Fund. It was realized last year, but it came into effect, if you will, into force in 2018. So in order to give stability to the yields of the GS, that evaluation, 70 million euros, was sort of sterilized with some capital gains. And for the rest of the business, we have basically ordinary operations. Okay, this is very clear. Thank you. As for the Core Tier 1 of the bank, so standalone, so after the breakdown, so the carve out of the UniRec, 10.5. So this is not very significant, because what we have to comply with is the Core Tier 1 of the banking group. So in this case, we are not putting too much money in the bank. I mean, more than what it needs. Next question is from the conference in English, from Michael Asmus, JP Morgan, please.
Thank you so much. On the group holding company cash position, can you say how much that will change as a result of any transactions you can foresee today? I'm thinking about any loan repayments the Arca transaction. I suppose I'm asking is the right figure to add the 100 million, or would it be a different figure? On the real estate provision, that was very clear, and my question is, should we foresee more such provisions in the coming quarters if you're continuing to ready your portfolio for sale? On the capital increase for BPER, the potential, should management decide that they want to clean up the balance sheet and your supporting shareholder, could your contribution be in the form of your holding in Unipol Banker, the good bank, or would it have to be in cash? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. So let me start, if possible, from your last question, because I have details here. So let's say the behavior of the holding company with the BPER, so with the bank. Now, as you can see, we are, let's say, following our own way, our own pathway. And this means that there, if possible, we would like to make this bank more and more profitable. This is the key target. And I think we are doing the right thing, so we are getting good results. As for the future of BPER, well, of course, it doesn't just depend on us. I mean, I keep saying that this bank may be aggregated or get into the group, that it depends on the conditions. It depends on what another group conditions may be, the financial statements, the perspectives. So we will assess all of these operations in order to give, let's say, a better and better future to our investments. Of course, we are not doing this just to, get into problems belonging to someone else. So we're just continuing. We are doing this our own way. Then, of course, it goes without saying that if we have the right opportunities, we will be able and ready to consider this. That this is not a cash, problem, because we don't have any need to get cash or fresh money from the bank. Once again, I keep saying that we may be there as stable, investors. And it's one of the questions, asked before. So we are not in another bank, and there may be an alliance with BPER with no cash transaction, but possible, paper-based transactions with another bank. This is possible. As for the net financial position of the holding company after selling Arca, so in that case, yes, this is cash-based. If I'm not mistaken, the value that we have defined is 475 million euros. So once again, 475 million euros. This is what the specialists have defined. So this means that the net financial position of the holding company improves thanks to what we have, collected or received thanks to selling this company. And I think that, this transaction will take place at the end of the June or soon after, so after we get the, approval from the legislator. Now, as for the real estate, so in this case, I'm going back to Unipol side, because, as you know, in terms of holding companies, we don't have direct investments in real estate. So, as of today, we don't have other investments. I mean, at least significant amounts. And, of course, at the end of the year, we will have our experts assess the real estate portfolio. So at the end of the year, we will see what has happened. I mean, as of today, once again, we don't have any, you know, major change. So we have done some alignments and adjustments, which is what we've done at the end of last year. The only operation that we've taken into account is this one, because there was a transfer opportunity. So it was an asset that is quite strategic for us. And we think that that building, you know, is useful, the so-called Area Castello in Florence that I have just mentioned. In that case, yes, we've done a sort of a realignment or adjustment because we saw that there was a possible transfer-related value.
Can I ask one more question, please?
I forgot about the holding costs. Michael, I think that this was part of your first question. Now, once again, considering the holding company, we have costs which are a little higher. So we do have some extra costs because we have issued new fresh debt in the Q4. And this also, this is happening because we have to pay back to the bank the guarantee that we have used some time ago on a portfolio of NPL that we have acquired as a Unipol REC. So basically, we now have to pay this back to the bank. This has an impact, of course, on the financial statements. So at the same time, so this indemnification agreement is no longer existing. So we could guarantee a specific portfolio value. Of course, I'm talking about the loans. So the bank had to pay 6 million euros per quarter to the holding company. Now, because this agreement does no longer exist because of the Unipol REC and then all the operations that you know very well, today the holding company is no longer collecting or receiving the 6 million euros depending on to the indemnification agreement paid by the bank. So there's a higher, bigger passive interests on the one side, less commissions on the other. So these two factors put together, you know, triggers the increase of the holding company costs item.
Thank you.
Next question from the conference in English is from Peter Elliott from Counter Fibre, please.
Thank you very much. Two more questions from me, please. First one, I noticed that the running yield, or the coupons and dividends, declined quite a bit, sort of about 30 basis points across the board, and in Unipulsi, in non-life, declined 40 basis points year on year. I was wondering just if you could talk about that trend and what we should expect going forward. The second question was on the non-motor business. You've seen a decline in premium volumes. You attributed this to some high-value contracts, but I was just wondering if you could explain that trend a little bit more. Thank you very much.
Many thanks for your question. Now, as for the running yield, now, situation today is heavily depending on the current rate structure. I mean, the non-life portfolio has a financial duration which is almost 3 years. The life business is 7 years. So as a consequence, you understand that because we reinvest the new flows at 1% rate, it goes without saying that the dividends coupon profitability level goes down. I mean, it has to go down throughout the years unless the rate structure in the next years or so will change. Now, this being said, our expectation for 2018 is that this kind of running yield level may be maintained. So once again, this concerns our securities portfolio. And as for the evolution of our non-life portfolio and especially on the non-MV, well, in that case, the reduction is due to the fact that we have no longer some major contracts. In many cases, it's been a technical choice. But in the next quarters or so, we are pretty sure we will be able to remove this delta and recover the amounts.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question from the original language conference is from Emanuele Borghetti, Intermonte, please.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one concerns UniSalute. Can you give us some color on the consolidation concerning UniSalute and Linea? What about the impact on ratios and other KPIs belonging to UnipolSai in this quarter? The second question is a strategic one. Now, because we know that you are not interested in exclusively selling important packages, maybe you want to recover this on an in-house basis. I would like to know if there's an interest from your side in those cases where there's a national player interested into consolidating different platforms having to do with credit collection. Do you think you may be interested into this consolidation offer? Of course, in those cases where the price meets your expectations. Thank you. Now, Matteo, back to you for UniSalute and UniVita. Now, as for Linear, in general, I have to say that the trend is the following. We have a specific growing platform, so it grows on our direct company, and as a consequence, because it has gone up also in 2017, and so much so, you can see here that the trend is now different versus UnipolSai, because we said before that there was a reduction by almost 3%, while on Linear, the number of claims is aligned to the trend of the portfolio. At the same time, we have a very good situation and evolution in terms of incidence rate, which is very, very similar to what's happening on UnipolSai. In terms of technical indicators, even if, breakdowns and compositions are different, the combined ratio levels are very similar. UniSalute has a total combined ratio by around 85%, which is a little higher versus Q1 2017, because 1 year ago we had a little bit less than 84. But as you can see, this is a very minor technical difference that has no impact whatsoever. So you may want to make some investments on development policies. Of course, UniSalute is doing this. In terms of premium growth, the positioning is around 5% growth on this Q1. Now, as for your second question, so the NPL. Now, I have answered one of the questions from Gianluca Ferrari, if I'm not mistaken. So I said before that we are not on the market today, so we are not interested into, selling NPL packages. But let's say that we are much more focused on recovering so our credit collection on an in-house basis. But of course, we do pay attention to all of the operations and proposals and offers around us. So I cannot say that we will refuse or reject every single idea and proposal. It all depends on the conditions. It all depends on the prices that we will have on the market. So as a consequence, I can also answer your question on the possible national player.
So in this perspective, we have no, let's say, limits. I mean, we think we are, you know, quite small in this market because we have a small portfolio that we are managing. So this is a different business line. It is a standalone business line. It has nothing to do with the bank. So if there's a good idea coming up, there may be a national player, there may be partial sales, so there may be a 100% in-house credit collection. So this can be assessed, you know, day after day. There are no constraints and no, let's say, ceilings. Thank you. Next question is a follow-up from Giuseppe Mappelli, Equita, please. Yeah, sorry, just a follow-up question. Unipol SAI is now showing minorities which are a little higher than the past. So why is this happening in this item? Thank you. Now, as for the minorities, well, you are asking me a detail that I cannot expand on right now. There will be a follow-up call for you, so our staff will be happy to help. Next question from the conference in English is a follow-up from Michael from JP Morgan, please.
Thank you very much. And this was going back to the cash at the holding. And my question here is to ask if these estimates are correct. So you're about to pay, or you have about to pay, 129 million dividend and about to receive your share of Unisai dividends, so I make it at just under 300 million. So that's a net of, call it 170. Then you have the ARCA cash, that's 475. So my math is that this adds up to an extra 640 million, so that the cash of the holding would go from 1.3 to 1.94 billion. Is this math correct? And you talked about indemnification. Is there a lump payment due to the bank, which I should deduct? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Now, once again, as I said before, as for the situation of the holding company, end of March 2018, so if I consider, you know, securities that can be paid immediately plus cash, yes, you're right, 1.3 billion euros. To this, you have to add 475 million euros, so around, let's say, 500 million, just to round up. So these 500 million euros will get into the holding company thanks to the you know, transfer or sale of ARCA to take place in the next month or so. So once again, I do confirm the cash position, 31st of March. So if we consider the transfer in terms of cash, you're right, we have 1.8 billion euros.
And the dividend, please, the dividend paid and received?
Yes, you're right. There will be dividends in the holding company, 300 million euros. This is the value of the dividend, roughly 300 million. This will take place right now in May. So we go up to 2.1 billion euros. This is the total. So we will pay dividends, 130 million, so net difference. So we have dividends from the different companies of the group on the one side. Then on the other side, we will have to pay around 170 million euros. So this is the positive balance. So we have around 2 billion euros. I mean, in terms of the net financial position on a pro forma basis, I would say, so considering all of these items, yes, you're right, around 600 million euros.
Thank you very much.
Michael, there's, this was very rough and very approximate, but in terms of, you know, detailed numbers, you can, of course, call our staff and you will have the details. But anyway, we went through the general figures, okay?
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. Chambry, ladies and gentlemen, we have no more questions today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this conference. I really would like to thank those who listened to our conference. Now, there's a very trendy thing. I mean, some people say that this is the best quarter ever. I don't want to say this. Let me tell you that this will happen over and over again in the future. Thank you.